Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 24th of August, 2015, the podcast that ejects the system disk. This is your host, Shane Killian, and my voice is not doing very well today, but thankfully I have Charles Thomas joining me. Charlie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
Let's renumerate the news of the bogus. And this first one is, this is one of those things I wouldn't have ordinarily covered, but there's one aspect of it that I think needs to be attacked, and that's all of these self-righteous comments about people regarding the Ashley Madison hack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard a bit about this too. I can see some people who have been, there's a lot of people who are self-righteous are going out there.
Yeah. And they're saying like, oh, they're cheaters, so they deserve what they get. Well, look, I've been cheated on before, and I know how it feels. Not by Heather, not by my darling Joey, but, you know, earlier in my life, I've been cheated on. I know how it feels. But let me tell you my story. After Joey died, you know, a few years after that, I was kind of ready to go back in the dating pool, and I signed up for a bunch of dating sites. And Ashley Madison was one of them. I didn't really get what the site was about. I was just signing up for these sites, and I looked around, and I decided it wasn't for me. And a while later, I said, okay, I'm just going to go and clear out a lot of old accounts. And so I was just going to websites I didn't want to be a part of anymore and deleting my account on them. Turns out, even though on Ashley Madison it's free to create an account, you have to pay them $90 to delete it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically it costs you money just to delete the entire account. That's insane.
Well, and not only that, but they found in this hack that a lot of the information in there is from those deleted accounts. So they quote-unquote deleted the account, but they didn't clear it out of the database.
Yeah, and I saw a video about this. I think it was Mr. Mediocre. I can't pronounce any names. I'm sorry. He's basically said that, yeah, the same thing. He said this data, even though people paid to delete their data, it was still there.
Yeah, I didn't pay them anything. You can deactivate your profile, which means it's not listed on there anymore, so I did that. And then I did what I kind of thought was the next best thing. I went through all the fields and I generated random characters and just put up random characters in all the fields. But as it turns out, my information is in the database. It didn't overwrite the old information. It just kind of kept the old information around. Now, I went looking through it, and fortunately in my case, there's nothing I'm worried about getting out of me. I never gave them my credit card number, never gave them my social, never really gave them any private information. It's just like my last name, city, zip code, things like that. And you can tell from the dates that I did this between the time Joey died and between the time I started dating Heather. So in my case, I'm not worried about anything getting out, but other people, they might have put in their credit card numbers. They might have put in other private information they don't want getting out. So even if they're not cheating, you know, all of this stuff is at risk, not to mention identity theft, things like that. I mean, okay, cheaters are bad people, but do they deserve to go through the whole thing with identity theft?
No, but personally, though, cheaters and everything else should be handled in-house. That's what I feel like. It should be handled with their significant others and such. But then again, it's funny because, you know, you see a lot of other noticeable people on that site and such, you know, politicians, so-called celebrities and everything.
Oh, there's lots of .mil addresses on there, which is scary.
It's not really radical stuff because, you know, it's been going on. I mean, if it wasn't Ashley Madison, there was other stuff there too. People using Craigslist, people using, heck, I wouldn't be surprised, people used eBay or something like that.
Any social media, really.
Yeah, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere. So, you know, it's just another big thing.
But there's something else to keep in mind. You know how when you sign up for a site and they send you that email confirmation and say, if this really is your email, click this special link and we'll know it's verified?
Yeah.
Ashley Madison didn't do that.
Wow.
You could put in whatever email you wanted.
You could easily make an email account.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing out there.
Oh, yeah. If you're really trying to hide who you are, you can go to Yahoo or somewhere, create a new email account just out of nothing, and then no one knows who you are. But the people like me who didn't have anything to hide and just went on there and used our regular email addresses, well, now potentially you've got this information that's been hacked. And I see this whole thing about, oh, we're doing this to get the cheaters. I kind of have the same opinion about this as I did out of the hack last Christmas that was against, I think, the Xbox and PlayStation networks.
Yeah.
And they went through and took those down. They DOSed them. And they were saying, well, we did it so people would spend more time with their families. No, you didn't. You did it because it's fun to hack things and you get an ego trip seeing all this stuff in the news about it being taken down. And everything else is just an excuse.
I agree with you there. So, you know, it's the idea of saying, yes, I did something and there's no consequence behind it. There's no consequences behind this type of behavior. You know, in the end of the day, you just cause, you know, someone else's livelihood or someone else's safety. You put that in danger.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even, you could say like, well, the cheater deserves what he got. Well, do the kids deserve to lose a father or a mother? What about the boss who looks through this? Oh, you're a cheater, so you're fired, even though it shouldn't be any of his business. You know, did he deserve to lose his job, even if he wasn't really cheating? Now, this is what you have to think about, and this is a big reason why the ends do not justify the means.
Yeah. Cheating and all this type of skullduggery needs to be kept in house. And yeah, I really, at the end of the day, these people are going to have someone to answer to. And on top of that, what about the people who are in gay relationships? Something that I was talked about in the forum I go to say, what about the people who in countries, mostly in the Middle East, who did use this website, who had like homosexual relationships?
Yep. And now they're being outed as homosexuals.
Yeah. People are going to probably be killed because of this. Yet they have to really realize there's going to be really serious consequences and people are going to probably pay for their lives because of this. I mean, they need to realize that, hey, people are going to die because of this. I see why people are like, hey, these people are cheaters. They're destroying lives and their homes. And what have you. I get that point. But when you have to look at the huge big picture about this, and then you got to look and say, okay, we made a big mistake.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. However, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
So from the Your Tax Dollars at Work department, it's come out that the European Union spends £500,000 each year to promote itself.
Yeah, you gotta spend money to make money, they say.
If only it worked that way with government. No, I think self-promotion with government is called propaganda. I think that's the definition.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
So this is an analysis by Business for Britain, and they found that the EU produced thousands of publications, videos, and other campaigns to promote its values. More than 100 publications, over 1,000 videos, cartoons, coloring books, and other educational materials to be given to children in schools.
You gotta get them a neon chain.
What was that one Catholic priest or whatever it was said, give me the child until age 7 and I will give you the man.
That's a good quote. You know, to me, if your country are spending this much money, which could go on to actually do more good, you know, for your country, because I could probably think about a couple things you could do with the £500,000 or what have you, to help, economy and country, other than promoting yourself. It's really, to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's £500,000,000, not £500,000,000. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
£500,000,000.
Oh, yeah. £500,000,000. Oh, how crazy of me that governments will maybe start, slashing their budgets and maybe doing a little bit of promotion. But this is something to me, it just seems like really insecure. I mean, it seems like they have to spend all this money to see that we're good. We're doing so much good. We're doing so great. But they're not letting their other actions speak for themselves. You know, if your country is doing such good work, why do you need to spend all this money to say it is? You have to let your actions speak actions speak more louder than any type of propaganda and everything else, because if you spend more than $500 million in pounds to get your message that your country or group or plan or government or whatever is doing good, there might be something going on here.
So according to the chief executive of Business for Britain, Matthew Elliott, quote, "With UK taxpayers contributing more and more to the EU budget, it is staggering that the European institutions are throwing away our hard-earned money on propaganda promoting the European project. Indoctrinating children in classrooms and funding EU-friendly NGOs is a completely inappropriate use of taxpayers' money when budgets are being cut at home. When Parliament debates the EU referendum bill in the autumn, it is vital that MPs prevent the EU from using its huge PR budget to brainwash voters and insidiously influence the result." And they posted a cartoon, just a few panels from it, that they're giving to school children. And I never thought I would see something more disturbing than a chick tract. But this is it. I mean, all the way down to the look on the teacher's face. It's just so vacuous and everything. So, you know, it's stuff like the kid says, "My dad says that Europe is a waste of money." And the teacher says, "It's true that there is a lot of criticism of the European Union, but the way the money is used on something like 280,000 projects every year is watched very closely. There is less than 1% fraud," and you can kind of imagine how it goes from there. Yeah.
That's no. Just no.
I grew up during the Cold War, and this is exactly the same kind of thing the Soviet Union produced.
It's not propaganda when we do it. Yeah.
Yeah, if a pharmaceutical company was spending this much on advertising or whatever, you'd wonder what was going on. Yeah,
but it's the government, and people will say, that's a cool. They're okay with that. It's is it a cognitive dissonance?
Dissonance.
That's pretty much what it is.
Dissonance. Yeah, dissonance. With an N, not a D. Well, a D at the front, but not the other.
Again,
D.
It's like private companies using this much money. How dare they? Government using this money, doing the same thing. More than the budget of Coca-Cola. Well, they have to. Because if they don't, you know, how can they spread the greatness of government and everything else?
Yeah, and they were really thorough with this report. They went through line by line, and they established that what was spent directly on promotions and communications amounted to £560 million. However, that doesn't include promotional activities that are a part of a larger budget that doesn't even show up in that figure. And according to Business for Britain, they spent £3.1 billion worth of things like, quote, "corporate communication of the political priorities of the union." That's similar to an analysis that was done about 10 years ago, which said they had spent $2 billion on promotional activities.
So it's like one of these government projects. It just starts small, but it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it just...
It doesn't even seem to have started that small. I think it's always been big.
Yeah. Well, small relative to size to what government spends anyway. It gets small and then it gets bigger and bigger to a point that you just sit there and you're like, wait, why is this much money again? And they just forget why. They just keep feeding the beast or what have you.
And it's also things like they gave £10 million to lobbying groups to promote additional union powers.
Of course, you know, hey, just give the money to the lobby groups. Just give the money to them. Heck, become a lobbying group. That way, at least the government will actually listen to you. Because honestly, as a regular voter, they don't really care.
Well, you have this spokes stooge for the European Commission saying, quote, "Providing the public with information on policies is an obligation in all democratic systems, which applies to the European Commission as much as it does to any public authority or government. The European Commission funds activities to increase awareness and people's understanding of the EU and its history, such as a remembrance of Europe's past." And haven't we talked about before how they're trying to get Google to forget the past and take down all these links to news items that people don't like, but...
Well, it's the past they want, you know? The past they want to remember.
Quote, "For example, it is notably through the Commission's main communication program, the Europe for Citizens program, that the European Commission has supported projects like the Auschwitz Holocaust Remembrance Museum, which would not have been able to stay open were it not for EU funding." Yeah, I'm sure we would all have completely forgotten about the Jewish Holocaust if they hadn't done that.
Yeah, I mean...
And all of the hundreds of other Holocaust museums would have just closed down and had grass growing over them and tumbleweeds blowing around.
They're trying to preserve the history that makes them look good. And not the ones that will cast a really dark shadow and such. Which, you know, history, you can't make history like that. You're going to see some stuff in history, not just in the United States, but also in the Europeans and everything else. Everybody in all the world history has some really bad baggage on it. All of it. And we have to look at it all and make sure we don't do the same steps again. You know the old saying, it's best to learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it. And they seem they're not going to take that lesson over in the EU. They're just trying to delete history, saying, well, it's only the good parts and not the bad, so we won't learn anything. And, you know, and they won't keep repeating the bad stuff.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age. So go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world. And they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. So, just a reminder that there's always someone else who has it worse off than you. We've been talking about the harassment and everything else people in the United States have experienced when they take video of the police on duty or something like that. Well, in Spain, a woman was fined for posting online a picture of a police car parked in a handicapped spot.
How dare she? You know, Shane, because the police are so, they do everything. I mean, they need that handicap space for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it was for a part of a crime scene or something.
Yeah, they have an excuse down here somewhere. We'll get there. But she was fined 800 euros, which is about $900, for posting this photo. She took a picture of, it's not like she followed a cop's, private car to somewhere he was going and posted pictures, like, to harass him or whatever. This was the actual police cruiser in a handicapped spot where it's not supposed to be.
Mm.
And she posted that to Facebook with the comment, "Park where you bloody well please and you won't even be fined." They tracked her down within 48 hours and fined her.
Of course, there are no real crimes happening in Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good that they've gotten all the murderers and rapists and everyone else off the streets. So all of this is because of a law called the Citizens Security Law. And with a name like that, you know it's nothing good.
Yeah.
And it prohibits, quote, "the unauthorized use of images of police officers that might jeopardize their or their family's safety or that of protected facilities or police operations." How this picture does that is beyond my ability to comprehend.
Well, they have to do that, Shane, because the car has a family. They have to protect the poor police cruiser's car's family.
Yeah, a picture of a police cruiser just sitting there is so dangerous. So Amnesty International, of course, has condemned the law. And they talk about the importance of being able to photograph and video police in the line of duty and how it prevents things like police brutality. And so they condemn this law, which prohibits that, and the punishment is a fine anywhere from 600 to 30,000 euros.
You cannot speak badly of the police. Never. The police are your friends. They'll never hurt you and everything else, seriously. I get somewhere out there, they're probably looking at some people like in this country looking like, we should get this thing right now because we need something to protect us, because someone's taking a videotaping the police beating the crap out of one black, white, or whatever type of a person who dares even looks at them wrong.
So you also had the spokes stooge for the local police, Fernando Portillo, and he said they had parked in the disabled bay, as they call it, because they were dealing with an incident of vandalism. Okay, so not like a rape in progress, not like something that they had to stop in a timely fashion, just vandalism.
And where's the evidence? I want to see the evidence.
He just said that in an emergency, the police park where they can.
Quick, there's an emergency at the local donut shop. I need to pack right next to the handicap place. There's no time. We got to go.
And when he was asked how the photo had put the police at risk, he said it was because the officers felt the woman had impugned their honor.
How dare she take a picture of the police officer's car? I mean, you know, God forbid that someone with handicap abilities might actually need it. No, no. The police need it first because, you know, they had to deal with vandalism.
And it also prohibits demonstrations, protests, free speech in the vicinity of Parliament or the Senate to prevent an eviction or actions of passive resistance like sit-downs, and offenders can face fines of up to 600 thousand euros.
I am just so happy this wasn't around back in the 60s, because you know, no offense, Shane, because you know down the South, they would, you know, people over Jim Crow would have looked over this and be like, oh, this is something we need to get into.
Oh, there were lots of protests and sit-ins all over the place, and yeah, they kept arresting them, and the courts kept saying, what are you doing? Let them go. But, I mean, you can see the footage of policemen dragging them away, because they would do peaceful noncompliance, which nowadays is called resisting arrest, and apparently that's when they start choking you to death. But what they would do is, like, the person would just kind of go limp, and that would force the police officers to drag them or pick them up or something to take them away.
Now they go limp because after the policeman actually beat them over the head 15 or 20 times.
Or tase them a whole bunch.
Yeah, but again, people are going to say, well, the police have a rough job, and I will get that. Yes, they do, but once you give the police officers, like, you know, so much, like, idol worship on this huge high pedestal to a point that if you dare to say anything wrong, they shout it down. Because remember, most people who shout these things or put these laws in are the regular people. They want this. The majority of people want this law because they think this police officers are untouchable saints, where they're far, far the truth. They're regular people. They are human beings like the rest of us with their flaws and everything else.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. All right, so there's still more news about Chelsea Manning, the whistleblower who exposed a lot of the U.S. military's atrocities to WikiLeaks. And now she's in prison, and she's been threatened with the death penalty, and she's been tortured with solitary confinement in Kuwait, and again, while in Quantico in Virginia, awaiting her trial. Well, now, on July 9th, military officials have confiscated several items, and the prohibited items included things like a Vanity Fair magazine, which contained the story about Caitlyn Jenner, which, of course, obviously Chelsea, being transsexual, is going to be interested in. And there's also one of the, I think it was Cosmopolitan, actually had her interview in it. She was interviewed by Cosmo, and so she wanted to read her own interview. And there's some books and magazines on transgender studies. And there's even, I thought this was interesting, a copy of Data and Goliath, which is one of Bruce Schneier's books, a book on the Whiskey Rebellion, and even the book I Am Malala by Malala Yousafzai. We've talked about her before.
Mm-hmm.
And some other stuff was taken too, and she wasn't informed. Her cell was searched. They were removed. She was placed in solitary confinement while they were doing all of this. Turns out the allegation was that she was disrespectful to an officer.
Of course, you know, it's always something, and some would say that she did something like horrible wrong and everything, like exposing military secrets. But if someone in the military is doing something horrible wrong and doing these crimes, shouldn't someone bring them to the light of day? Because again, if you don't bring this stuff to the light of day, this will give more people, you know, more reason why they hate us. Because again, justice is denied these the victims and such, you know?
But, I mean, it's even more basic than that, because the things she did was talking about bad things that the military was doing, and then for quote-unquote justice about it, who holds her under arrest, who holds her in her cell, and who gives her trial about it? The military! That's got to be like the world's biggest conflict of interest there.
Exactly. It's something that I wrestle with personally when I look into the whole Chelsea Manning situation. Because part of me is like, you know, what she did is, I think it's good so you can find out who did wrong. It's just like, I just feel that this should have been the better way. I don't know what other solution could Chelsea, she could have had to release this information. Because, again, I just don't know what the real, because what she's going through. She's probably going to get the death penalty to me. It just feels just wrong for me. Wrong that most people are not even talking about this anymore. Just again, they just like, you know, which is another problem with this country. Just the ADD of this country is like, it's top for a minute and then just completely forgotten about. It just that what she's going through, plus solitary confinement, which even if she gets released, she's probably not going to really be the same either, because you know how horrible that treatment is.
Yeah, and that's the problem with this. If she's found guilty of this, the possible punishment is indefinite solitary confinement.
Yeah.
And basically every expert on the subject has said that solitary confinement is torture. Even when they follow all the rules, which they don't, like they're supposed to let them out for 1 hour a day and let them outside. And we've talked before in other podcasts about how they don't do that. They just keep them in all day when they're not supposed to. So, yeah, it's bad.
There's been cases around this country, you know, people staying in solitary confinement just lose their minds. They go completely insane. And you expect them to go, and they get released, and you expect them to become integrated members of society. It's, to me, barbaric. And you know what the main problem with this? The part of this thing about, maybe it's the West or maybe here in America, it's just the vengeance and revenge thing about prisons. We don't really want to reform anybody. We just want revenge. We want to have them being punished, permanently punished. Yes, we're going to make you feel punished every single day for breaking moment, which what you did and everything, instead of actually looking for, say, forgiveness or trying to integrate that person into society. We just want to punish people and just be done with it. And it doesn't work.
So the ACLU has tried to figure out exactly what's going on, and the military has denied all of Chelsea's requests to return the reading materials and give them details on the charges, but they have said that she's facing charges for disrespecting an officer, misusing medication, and possessing prohibited items. Okay, we've talked about the prohibited items. The disrespect charge happened when she was being questioned, and she requested a lawyer.
Seriously?
That was disrespecting an officer.
Something that is guaranteed in this country, in the United States. I think even in military trials, you do have the right for a lawyer or an attorney to defend you, right? I mean, that's that one of its basic cores in the country, your right to a defense.
Yeah.
It just seems like they just want to just sweep this under the rug, and it's a shame.
And even more ridiculous than that, when someone says misusing medication, what do you think? They're addicted to OxyContin or whatever.
Painkillers and such, you know.
Yeah, all of that. Nope. It's because she had an expired bottle of toothpaste.
Really?
Toothpaste. Expired toothpaste.
You know, this is getting very petty.
Yeah.
It's all just petty.
And also, not only have they denied her access to a lawyer, they have denied her access to the law library so she can prepare her own defense. So she's not only being forced to defend herself, she's being denied of the means to do so.
Again, it's petty. They just want to just crush her and crush her spirit and crush anyone who would dare go against them.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to tread on this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to the Swedish Federation for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights, which in Swedish initializes as RFSL. Now, probably the last thing you'd expect such a group to do is to condemn a gay pride march, but that's just what they did. And why? Because since Muslims don't like gays, marching through a heavy Muslim area was racist.
Wait, what?
Racist.
Racist! It's funny, because Muslims are one of the most hardcore... Again, we spoke about this earlier about Ashley Madison. It is illegal in these countries to be homosexual. And if you are found out to be homosexual in some of these Muslim countries, you're put to death. You're dead. So... it sounds like this real liberal mindset of basically cognitive dissonance. Probably again mispronouncing it. I apologize, but it's like gay people have all these rights, and we should be, they should stand and everything out. But we can't say offend the Muslims, and it just I don't know how they can just walk around and have this type of walking contradiction. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think part of it is because it's from the Sweden Democrats Party, which is a nationalist party that they really don't like. But they marched in a gay pride parade through Tensta and Husby, which are two areas where Muslim immigrants are more than 75% of the population. And the Facebook page just has all sorts of angry comments about these xenophobic right-wing nationalists for having this gay pride parade through the Muslim areas.
If it was a Christian neighborhood, they'd be like, all in. But Muslims, oh goodness, they can't. It's a walking hypocrisy. And they say, left-footed, tolerant, and open-minded. And then supposedly, this happens. And you're like, they have hatred saying it's calling them xenophobic. Like, they're going...
Yeah. Well, and they say that this parade pits two oppressed groups against each other. Okay, now, there are some ways in which Muslims have been oppressed in the West and in other places around the world. But on this issue, on the gay issue, the Muslims are the oppressors.
Yeah. I mean, heck, our foreign policy has not been good for Muslim countries,
absolutely.
Sanctions and wars and everything else. And most people with common sense would say that. But in this issue, like a couple months ago, where you had three gay people were tossed off of a building in, what was it, Libya, I think, or Saudi Arabia? I don't know. It's one of those countries that did this, and they were cheered. They were like, yes, they were executed. The state let that happen. That's going to be, should be something that we should be targeting, changing their hearts and minds. Not going after, saying, how dare right-wing gay people go after Muslims? Like, how dare they? They're being racist. I'm like, if they had their way, the Muslims would kill them. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and RFSL, I'm just putting it out there, it's a taxpayer-funded gay rights group, so just whatever you want to conclude from that. But they said that this gay parade through the Muslim areas was racism and, guess what, white privilege.
Wow. Wow. Check your privilege, gay people. You have to let the Muslims if Muslims feel that you need to die and kill, you got to let them do it. Because, hey, check your privilege.
Because you're privileged and they're oppressed.
Yeah, they're high on the oppressive wheel. So, sorry, gay people. You had to get killed by the Muslims. It doesn't make any sense. This is something... These are going to be the issues here. The real hate. Trust me, there's still people who are misguided here in this country, but at least they're not going to kill you. At least I don't think.
So Swedish leftists called for the parade to be banned, as in made illegal, and the organizers to be arrested for, survey says, hate speech.
Wow. Hate speech for gay rights. So how dare they? You know, seriously. They are being killed in these countries, mainly by the state. And they're saying, okay, we don't want to have that. And yet you're coming in and saying that's like, you're basically saying it's a good thing that Muslims are killing gay people. That's what they're doing. Hypocrisy, that name is leftist. And I don't want to really say that, but it's because I know there's some really cool leftists out there, but they need to really, you know, check their privilege.
Yeah. So that means only the RFSL could be this week's biggest bogon emitter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now let's brute force the secret of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to Richard Bleck. Yes, Bleck. His name is actually Bleck.
Ah, man.
B-L-E-C-H. Bleck.
Bleck. Oh, goodness.
Bleck.
That is just amazing.
So, just to let you know, the title that Brian Krebs put on his story supporting it was How Not to Start an Encryption Company. And this is Secure Channels Incorporated, of which Bleck is the CEO, based in Irvine, California. And they've been bragging about how their new technology has unbreakable encryption. And if people had just used their encryption, then all these data breaches that have happened wouldn't have happened at all. And so they've been promising all this money, like $50,000, for whoever can break their unbreakable claim in contests that are basically set up to be unwinnable. And they also offered in Las Vegas last year a new BMW to anyone who could unlock a digital file that was encrypted with their patented technology. Okay, patented technology. You know what that means? It means they rolled their own crypto. You never roll your own crypto.
Oh, so what is that? Because to a layman, how bad is that?
Well, basically, you're starting over from scratch. You're not basing it on anything that's been tested. If it's patented and you're keeping it secret, then it hasn't been open to peer review from the security community. And so they just put it out there. And when no one was able to crack it, because mostly I think no one was tried, they were considering the whole thing a joke. But then they claim victory, and I'll tell you how I could do exactly the same thing. You could do exactly the same thing. Anyone listening can do exactly the same thing. Get a random number generator. Generate a whole bunch of random characters. Put it in a file. Say it's encrypted. And who can break the encryption? No one? I win! That's basically what they did.
So basically, it just said, you know, well, no one's going to challenge me. I win. Referee, raise my hand.
Pretty much. And the way you're supposed to do that is, first of all, you tell them what your algorithms are. Basically, you give them everything they need to know to crack it, except the key. So the secret key you keep secret, and then you put it out there and say, okay, try to crack it. So they didn't do any of that. They're relying on security through obscurity, which is no security at all. You know, this is the same reason that DVD encryption was broken in, like, I don't know, 20 nanoseconds or something, because they rolled their own crypto, and then a 15-year-old in Sweden or wherever.
Wow. That is very interesting.
Yeah, and then what happens at the end of the contest, if no one is able to do it, then you publish the encryption key so that people can decrypt it and verify it, that there was a message there, and they actually could have done it. They didn't do any of that. So it's interesting. Here's a thing or two about Blech. In 2003, he pleaded guilty to civil and criminal fraud charges and was sentenced to 6 years in federal prison for running a $210 million Ponzi scheme. Yeah, so he's one of those Ponzi scammers, just like Charles Ponzi and Bernie Madoff and the Social Security Administration.
So basically, they are, you know, people just put money into there and saying, oh, it's going to work. And then next, you know, it doesn't work. And we're all basically screwed.
Yep. Because there's no actual investment. You use new investors to pay off the old.
Oh, that's great. That's just perfect. And people who just held this whole security firm just got hosed, I bet.
So you have security researcher Lance James, who has responded to a lot of these challenges, and he was being taunted with tweets from Blech and others at the company, and Blech had sent him something like that: when the crypto defeats you, we'll give you a t-shirt. Can't touch this. You'll wear it for a tweet. And James said, challenge accepted. Proprietary patented crypto is embarrassing in 2015. You should know better.
Dang. So people out the right there telling him, saying this is a terrible, terrible security system, and you and the people behind them basically just wasted your money and time.
Yeah. So Krebs talks a little bit about what I talked about earlier, about how you basically give people everything but the key when you tell them to do it. That's called Kirchhoff's principle, and so he talks a bit about that. And then James decided that he was just going to let the whole thing go when SEI refused to talk about anything about how their cryptography worked, which, of course, SEI's director of marketing, Deirdre D. Murphy, said that, oh, well, he dismissed the challenge. That means he was obsolete. And when Murphy got a lot of embarrassment for that, she deleted the tweets. But guess what? Krebs has a screenshot.
Oh, dear.
It doesn't go away.
It never goes away. People, the internet is forever. You have to keep saying that. The internet is forever. It will never, ever, ever goes away.
So you have Nate Cardozo, staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, one of our favorite organizations, basically says that when companies behave that way, they're selling snake oil. Quote, they don't disclose their settings or what modes their ciphers are running in. They have a patent, which is laughably vague about what it's doing. Because, you know, the whole idea of a patent is you tell everyone how it works. And yet their chief marketing officer insults security researchers on Twitter, saying, if our stuff is so insecure, just break it. And he said that although there was no indication that they were engaging in actual fraud, like the kind I described earlier, although it is indistinguishable from it, they are engaged in, quote, wildly irresponsible marketing. In the cryptography community, the way you prove your system is secure is you put it up for peer review, you get third-party audits, you publish specifications, etc. Apple's not open source, and they do all of that. You can download the security white paper and see everything that iMessage is doing. The same is true for WhatsApp and PGP. When we see companies like Secure Channel treating crypto like a black box, that raises red flags. Any company making such claims deserves scrutiny, but because we can't scrutinize the actual cryptography they're using, we have to scrutinize the company itself. All right, so I'm not going to go into the rest of this. You can read it for yourself. But Krebs dives deeper into SEI and its origins and where this crypto actually comes from and things like that. And it's a pretty good read. But basically, we've covered all of the stuff that makes Richard Blech this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this I've Fallen In With a Group of Ham Radio Operators edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links at the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv. And feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
Thanks once again, Shane, to let me ramble.
Until next time, here's a quote from Bruce Schneier. Anyone, from the most clueless amateur to the best cryptographer, can create an algorithm that he himself can't break. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 imported license. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
I apologize for mispronouncing all the words I'm saying out of my mouth.
I never apologize for mispronouncing, and I'm definitely not apologizing for the way I pronounce blah.